welcome to episode 43 of the Earbuds. It's the Rural Americans Feral Hogs episode. What's up, Mark?
Scrolling through these feral hog jokes that blew up in like an hour.
But, I bet you that guy's a big White Stripes fan.
What's the joke there?
I don't know. He just probably, you know, spraying hogs, listening to
crunchy guitar.
Yeah, just crunchy guitar music. Yeah, anyway, we're not going to talk about feral hogs. You know, it's only our ninth episode of the year. What?
At least not for the whole episode.
Yeah, not the whole episode. We're recording this Monday night. We haven't recorded an episode in a little bit. It's our ninth episode of the year. Our New Year's resolution was to get to 26 episodes for the year. Can we do it?
We're on pace.
Technically, we can.
Technically, we could smash that goal still.
Well, I don't think so. There's only like 28 more weeks in the year.
Yeah, we could record twice a week.
All right, that's true, if we really needed to do it.
We won't be doing that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's stick to it. Anything you want to talk about before we get into the show?
No. Let's kick it off.
All right. We got a big-time dad episode ahead. We're going to discuss Chance the Rapper's Quotations debut album.
He's more of a wife guy, though. But
yeah, I guess Coloring Book was a dad album. I don't know. We'll talk about it once we get to that part of the episode. Stay tuned. Before we get to that, we're going to, you know, chat about some other dad-related stuff. Why don't you kick us off, Mark? Let's talk about Big Jim.
Okay, yeah. So I think we've only talked about, had a dedicated segment from my dad once or twice before, but he last week was in St. Louis for business and decided to get a cheap ticket to the Cage the Elephant Beck co-headline tour and was raving about it. So I would just give a brief plug to that if that tour is still going on and anybody has a chance to see it. He said it's the best show he's ever seen. So
wow. Seriously?
High praise. Yeah.
I mean, your dad's probably seen 100 concerts.
Yeah, more than that.
All right.
Pretty high praise.
I mean, I've heard Cage the Elephant is extremely good live.
Yeah, I've seen them live. And they were fun. He said they put on a great show. The Beck set was really good. And he said the visuals for the Beck set were really cool. And then they had like a kind of a mini encore set with the two of them together that he said was just incredible.
So what did they do together?
They have a song together, but beyond that, I think it was just like a couple reprises of, you know, the bigger hits played earlier in the evening. But
all right. Shout out Cage the Elephant and Beck. If they're on tour, go see them if you like those bands. Or bring your dad, because they'll probably like it.
Dads love that.
Dads love it.
That was the first of our dad content.
Yeah. And, yeah, here we're segueing into more dad content. We haven't done a segment in a while.
Yeah, this is our Father's Day episode.
Yeah, we should have done this. Yeah, we should have done this a minute ago. But with Chance's album coming out, him being a father and talking about it a lot, we wanted to play a fun game, doing a little snake draft here, to draft the best hip-hop albums post-having a child. So no Kanye before North was born, no Jay-Z before Blue Ivy, and no Drake before Adidon. Which I guess he only has more life in Scorpion. So neither of those are going to crack my list.
Oh, I thought that was going to be on there. She tweeted it earlier.
That was a joke. That was definitely a joke.
Snake draft?
That was
funny joke.
Why don't you go first, your pick of the best hip-hop albums post having a kid?
Okay. 444. That's a sincere pick that 2 years ago when it came out. It was one of my favorite albums, and it is actually, you know, thematically irrelevant, and there is discussion of his child, right? Just the one?
Yeah, there is. She's on one of the tracks.
Yeah, yeah, and what it kind of means to be a dad and grappling with just being a general older man in the hip-hop game. So I think that really fits the theme and is probably one of the better hip-hop albums of the last few years.
Yeah, I think that's the clear number one overall seed if you were to make a bracket out of this. It's definitely that album. My back-to-back picks are going to be The Life of Pablo. That album doesn't really grapple a whole lot with him having any kids.
It sounds like he's grappling with a lot, though.
Yeah, sure. He's grappling with himself. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not specifically about his children, but I'm sure they had an impact on his mental state. For sure. He does say he's not worried about Baby Saint, though.
Yeah, there you go.
At some point on the album. So that's my first pick in the draft. My second pick, I'm going to go off the hip, shoot from the hip here. I'm going to take, this is not Dad, this is just best hip-hop albums. I'm going to take Invasion of Privacy by Cardi B. So post-becoming a mother.
What? That's not part of this.
Why?
You said draft of rap dad album.
Okay. Rap parents.
I guess we'll allow that.
If you want to take Lauryn Hill, Miss Education, it's on the table. If you want to take Lemonade from Beyonce, you on the table.
No, I'm not. Gonna
I'm changing the rules
about it because my other two picks are bit picks. So
are what?
They're just dumb picks.
Oh, so, all right.
Yeah, go for it. What's great. Your other one?
Those are my two.
Oh, that's right.
That, and then it goes back to you. Two. That's how a snake draft works.
Correct. All right. So with my second pick, I want to be clear. It's my second pick. It's not my number one pick. It's Father of Assad.
Oh.
DJ Khaled. I haven't listened to the album. But given the chance to make sure that DJ Khaled is not number one in some sort of ranking, you got to take it.
Yeah, the little kid, Assad is on the cover. That's a very much a dad album. So
it's called Father of Assad. So yeah. How much more dad can you get?
I mean, he's the executive producer on the album. That kid's going to be taking royalties for a minute.
Yeah, so here's the big swing for the fences. I'm going to go with a father you may not have thought of with this topic, a founding father. I'm going to go with the Hamilton mixtape. Also, have not listened to it. That's good content.
Oh. Yeah, that's off the wall. I definitely did not think about that. You can try to listen to the mixtape. How have you not? I'm upset you drafted two things you've never listened to. I mean, you ruined the whole fun of my idea.
What? I thought that my list was good.
I think my list is good. I mean, it's something, Mark. I'll give you that. All right, I'm going to end this stupid segment. I'm going to choose as my third and final draft pick here, Mastermind by Rick Ross. I'm pretty sure he has a bunch of kids, and they were before. Yeah, I think he has some kids. Well, also you could take any Young Thug album. So if you really wanted to go, he was like a teenage dad. So all of his projects have been since he was like he had four kids.
All right.
Do you want to do some honorable mentions for the worst? Because I have a couple I want to just say out loud.
Oh, go for it.
All right. So the immediate release from Jay-Z after Blue Ivy was Magna Carta Holy Grail. What a shit album. Just. It's very, very bad. And then Ye from Kanye, which a lot of people last year somehow liked, but there are like some weird comments on that album about his kids.
Oh,
Like he rethinks himself as, you know, well, you know, I don't want to be a misogynist anymore because I have a daughter. And it's like, well.
Well, you still are doing that.
Yeah, like, come on.
Like, that shouldn't be what forced you to.
Yeah.
Just about any recent Eminem album.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure Haley has mentioned on those. Father of Four.
Yeah, is that actually, Offset?
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad. I thought. I don't really listen to that either. But that's one that just has the name Father in it. So.
All right. That does it for our segment of best hip hop albums since you had children. Let's move on to the Chance album.
Are we not doing news and notes?
Do you want to do news and notes?
I mean, you put it down there. It's more dad content.
All right, let's talk about Drake, our sweet Canadian dad.
Yeah, he gave us a gift.
He gave us a gift. He released Care Package over the weekend, which shout out Drake for just being like the king of streaming.
Yeah.
Like, he released 17 songs that everyone has heard most of these before, previously released songs, but they were unavailable on like Spotify and iTunes to date. Just going to bring in the royalties. Shout out Drake.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like a cool move in general. I was trying to think, there's not a ton of current rappers that have careers that long now that have kind of straddled that, where I mean the major one would be Lil Wayne. If he did something like that, would be awesome. But I don't know, it's a cool move. I like that acid rap got added along with 10 Day, so it's a good trend I'd like to see. I don't know how much more we'll really see of it. I'm probably blanking on a couple opportunities, but yeah, shout out Drake.
Well, I mean, to your point, he was like the artist that came up as they were straddling the line between like Dat Piff releases and just having mixtapes downloaded and then having them streamed for free. But Lil Wayne's probably the closest comp, honestly, to he could release something that has, you know, 20, 30 songs on it.
Yeah. A lot of songs on there.
All right. Let's that's the news and notes. We have one news, one note. That's what happens when we don't record in 6 weeks.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's talk about Chance the Rapper. This is his song, Let's Go on the Run, from his debut album, The Big Day.
Lovely sister, won't you come home to your mister? I've got plans to hug and kiss ya. I've got plans to hug and hug and hug you. Let's go on the run. Let's go on the run. It's time to hit the road. We got one place to go. Please prove. Meet me, but feel like road runner. I get my feet loose. I got that Superman hidden under my cheat suit.
All right, let's discuss Chicago mayoral candidate Chance the Rapper. So The Big Day is Chance's, again, quotations, debut album. It was released about 2 weeks ago. It's the follow-up to 2016's release, Coloring Book. I'm sure most of our listeners, if not all of you, are pretty aware of Chance, but he's kind of the darling of the independent music scene. I'd probably argue he reached his like height of popularity during like 2016, 2017. He appeared on Life of Pablo, released Coloring Book, had some really dope late night performances on SNL and Fallon, and then headlined Lollapalooza back in 2017, which sounds kind of crazy thinking about like Ariana Grande just shut it down last night here, and he did that 2 years ago, which is just...
Yeah, he was... I mean, he still is massive, but...
Yeah, not to that scale, though. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it was the hometown.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point.
Too.
So the album debuted at number two last week, which is kind of interesting to me. It was outsold by a rapper I've never heard of, NF. You ever heard of him?
No, I haven't heard of that either. I guess we're kind of showing our asses here, but I've seen the advertisements around.
Yeah, so, I mean, we should check that out eventually, because that beat out Chance. But I guess upon, maybe let's just start off with, like, you know, first listen, you know, what kind of came to mind, or how would you describe your first kind of reaction to the album? Because it's been a while since we've heard from our Chance.
Our Chance. I've listened to the album, given its length, like 2.5 times, but thought about it a ton over this past week or two. I'm going to be honest, I initially, like, kind of leading up to it, was fairly ambivalent, even though Acid Rap is one of my favorite albums ever. And so then I kind of told myself, you know, I convinced myself that Groceries wasn't actually going to be on it, and it was just a way to build viral hype, and that the album would end up being good. And I was mostly right, I think. Well, I was definitely right on the Groceries account. But I'm just, like, very lukewarm on the album, I guess.
So that's my word. I wrote down, like, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think about your listening?
I said exhausting.
Exhausting's another word. Let's get into that, too. I'll give my kind of, like, first reaction was, first listen, very lukewarm. My second time through, I still was like, yeah, this is Chance. Like, there's nothing really, like, surprising on here. But my third time through, it definitely is growing on me. Which we'll get into the exhausting part, about it. And then first listen, those points of the album were really annoying to me, and they bored me, and they made me mad, and I was like, this is stupid, I don't want to listen to this. But now I've come to, they don't bother me as much as the first or second time I listened to it. But I think what's, there are many songs on this album that I just was thinking of, like, this could be the soundtrack to the movie Hitch with Will Smith. Like, it could just be the end credits to, like, any romantic comedy. Yeah, is this album
very, well, thematically at least, is very one note, and
yep.
I think that's part of the reason it's so exhausting, is that, like, he really just explores a couple topics, and it's just, I think Pitchfork used the phrase as, like, something like oppressively positive, which I think is fair.
Yeah, and
but I don't, like, on a surface, like, strictly surface level, I think it's enjoyable all the way through. I probably won't listen to it all the way through again, though. But,
well, I just, I mean, kind of to that point, if you're gonna make a 77-minute album, I feel like you need to explore some topics beyond what you've done in your previous albums, or even what you've done recently in your, like, releases and singles and just general persona. Because, like, yeah, what he is like a God praising father and husband.
Yeah.
And, like, so he's coped with, like, being an independent artist and wanting recognition and, you know, working his butt off and being wholesome previously. So, like, nothing on here is, like, new to me, but it could be new to other people that are experiencing Chance for the first time. That's what I'm thinking about now, on my, like, second and third listen, was, like, to me, as someone who's listened to Acid Rap and 10 Day, and again, Acid Rap being one of my favorites as well, in the last like decade or so. Like, I'm more familiar with him than probably a lot of other people are.
Right. So you kind
So
of
there.
hit on one of my biggest issues, but before I get into that, I want to just hit on some of the things that I did like,
Yeah,
because I don't want to
positives
get too
first.
down on Mr. Bennett here. So I thought there were, the feature list is stacked, and I don't think all of them worked as well as some of the others, but I thought there were great features from Ben Gibbard. DaBaby saved Hot Shower from being like one of the worst songs of the year.
I agree with you.
Taylor Bennett, Chance's brother, came through and like absolutely flexed on the
Yes.
track that he was featured on.
Smash that song.
Yeah. Our sweet prince, Knox Fortune, great as always. And Megan Thee Stallion, as good as you expect. And Gucci had a fun verse. So, I mean, that's like enough really good features for a full album. And then there's like probably twice that amount of, and I don't think there's really a bad feature, but there's a lot of
So
features.
there's two other features I want to shout out, and then I want to get into who you thought stunk because I think I didn't think there were any real bad ones.
No,
But
I don't
first,
think it's
like
bad.
the Gucci song with Gucci Mane, I found really enjoyable because like Gucci Mane used to be this like murderer, drug slinging, hardo, like in prison every 2 years, and has really transformed himself into like rap's father for Atlanta, right? Like what he has become sober, he's cleaned his life up. He like helps curate talent in Atlanta and is like now also kind of like an older version of Chance where he's like just a God praising like he still has a trap in him, but he's kind of got that wholesomeness, like fun loving Gucci to him, and it's just like fun having them both in the same song. Like I was just like, oh, this is like that's cute. I like that. But two other features I thought were really good. Smino on Eternal was great. I think Smino should be on. If you're making an album, just put Smino on it.
I mean, similar to Pac, he can take hook duty, but he can also kill a verse,
Oh,
so
he's so talented and incredible. Shout out
yeah.
Smino. And then I thought Nicki Minaj was really great on the song Slide Around.
Yeah, I would agree.
Happy with her verse, and it's one of the better things I've heard from her recently because I was very underwhelmed by her album she came out with. So yeah, I thought those two were also really great. Who did you think wasn't or didn't land for you?
No, I didn't
Shawn
mean
Mendes,
that.
Randy Newman?
No, it's just that they didn't stand out as much, I guess. There weren't really any that I was like turned off by, I guess.
Okay.
He did a good job curating the features. Which also, to that point, one of my bigger gripes with Coloring Book, even though I largely liked it, was that a lot of the times there would be a feature and it seemed like he would bend the song and kind of his style towards whoever was featured. Like the song with Future and then Mixtape with Yachty and Young Thug especially. He kind of like tried to switch into their style, whether it was intentional or not. It kind of, I don't know, it was weird, but the features more fit into the album here. They kind of fit into his sound and what the album is doing, than the other way around, which I liked.
I agree with you. To that point about kind of bending his sound, the song Hot Shower sounded eerily similar to another Chicago rapper's flow. Yeah.
But Chance's voice does not work at all for it.
No.
That song is so obnoxious until the features come in.
Yeah, I mean, agreed.
And then DaBaby just busts down the door and is
Yeah.
enjoyable.
Having all these XXL freshmen on here, shout out Chance.
Yeah. But yeah, kind of talking about jumping off flows, we're segue after segue here.
Yeah.
I think
that's what happens when you podcast for 3 years.
Yeah, on a whole, he raps really well and has a lot of cool flows and is like shows that he's still very technically talented, which I don't think he really flexed as much on Coloring Book compared to Acid Rap or some of his earlier features. But it's just kind of like, as we kind of fainted towards earlier, just lacks substance, really. And I think there's just, I mean, compared to Acid Rap especially, Coloring Book was still interesting because it was him, like, celebrating his newfound love and God and kind of exploring that. And he had cool, like, wordplay and very introspective with it. There's not a lot of that here. It's pretty corny, and I don't know.
I agree with you. I think he showcases that he's still very talented. It's like underwritten. It is songs just like aren't completed to me, is how I felt. Yeah. And again, like, I feel like that is what you're going to feel like when you have, an hour and 20 minute album where you explore the same two things.
Yeah. It's just
every other song
stretched too thin.
Yeah. It's a little too thin. Like, if this was 11 song, if it was just half as long, I feel like I would enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
And just be like, cool. Chance is like really happy. Like, he's just a positive, optimistic. He's feeling great. He's in a good spot with his life. But, so, you know, and I will say, I mean, to that point, I don't want it to sound like I'm complaining about him being positive. It's like, it was kind of refreshing to hear an album that doesn't talk about, like, you know, overdose, drug use, murders, you know, cheating on your wife. It's refreshing to listen to Chance just be so wholesome. But yeah, like, after an hour, it's kind of like, all right, man, let's uncover something new in that realm, you know, like, bring me something that I haven't thought about before about love or something, you know, like, we've heard these songs, give or take, you know, a couple thousand times in some shape or form.
That's kind of my, so yeah, it's not surprising that Chance made an end to end completely positive album, but it is, I found it surprisingly unrelatable, coming from Chance, which he's like kind of at a different stage in his life, obviously. And there's nothing inherently wrong with making, that 100% positive album, but it really just alternates between like the Coloring Book Jesus rap, which is like way more, kind of surface level. And then I Love My Wife, which people have made enough jokes on. But yeah, so like personally, like, neither of that really landed. And it seems like the general fan response, like on Reddit and Twitter, besides the people that are like blatantly standing for him, is it doesn't seem like it really landed for a lot of people either.
Yeah.
Because I think, and once you, like, that's, you know, that's what he's going through in his life. But I think the past few years have been really tough for a lot of people. And if you're going to make this wholly positive album that's, like, deeply just kind of like, everything's going great for me, everything's going great for me, you have to do it a little more carefully, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I also think it might not land for some folks because...
Also, his audience, we're on the upper end age-wise of his audience. It skews way young. So that was another interesting thing. Like, those people can't be, like, that close to marriage.
Right. Yeah, I guess... my point on that is, I think, like, he made this album for himself. I don't think he made it for any fan. I don't think he made it for any sort of theme or message or anything. I think he literally wrote songs for him that he is proud of listening to later.
Yes, which that's cool.
It's cool. So I want to dive into that because I think this is another good, you know, point to, or like, you know, segue. We're going to keep using that word. We're going to name that this episode just we're a segue.
Masters.
It's like, did he do himself a disservice by delivering this album at this point in his career? Because I'm cool if you want to make an album for you. But he's extremely popular, and he's had a huge trajectory of growth and popularity in the last 3-4 years. But he's been gone for two, you know, hasn't really been on a lot of stuff, released a lot of stuff. He's been more like politically active in social service and around the community, which is great. But it's like, to me, it felt like Vince in Entourage, where like he has this huge blow up and then does a shit movie and then like no one likes him anymore.
Yeah.
And has to like come back up. It's just like, it was a weird point for me to hear this album, you know? Like, if you're at a point in your life where you can achieve like an extreme amount of commercial success, if you, and again, maybe that's just like mailing it in and he didn't want to do that, but he could have made 10 different songs and had like he's talented enough to just create 10 like incredibly well written, tight songs. And he didn't do that, which was surprising to me.
Yeah, I guess having your debut album being all about your marriage day is strange.
Right. Like, that's assuming that like a lot of people already know you and are like, you're not growing your fan base. It's like, I don't really agree with that approach, but like, again, he's independent and he's going to do what he wants. He doesn't have to listen to anyone. I wouldn't have made this album, you know, my first debut album. And I keep doing quotations because it's like, I hate that term.
So prior to the feral hog craze, Chance, I don't know if you saw it, had some interesting tweets this morning.
He did. You want to talk about him?
Yeah, because I think it's very, it does tie into what we're saying, where it's kind of, he made this album, he's independent, he had full, complete creative control over this album, and he made a 22-track album that's, you know, an hour and 15 minutes, about largely a couple things, and it doesn't seem like he's taking the criticism well at all.
No.
He started this long tweet thread, which I'm not going to read all of it, but he said, I'm getting this crazy feeling that people want me to kill myself. Tear-faced emoji. It kind of went on to just say that he feels like he's being shamed for things. And then he ended with, I love my wife. So he's conscious of like, he's conscious of his image and he knows how people are viewing him, but he doesn't. I've seen a lot of criticism of the album, but I haven't seen anything that is, and maybe there is that stuff out there, which there shouldn't be. And obviously if anybody is feeling that way, get help. But I haven't seen criticism approaching that level.
I think he was being hyperbolic.
Right.
And being like,
that's very Kanye tweet vibes.
Yes. 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 Like, let's take it to the extremes because I want attention now because you're being mean to me and not like receiving it the way that I wanted you to. But like, you've got to know that not a lot of people are going to relate to that album.
I
don't know how you make an hour and 20 minute album about getting married and being in love at 25 and like everything in your life is going amazing. To your point, like a lot of people have had like a shitty last 3-4 years.
Yeah,
like And I would say a lot of minorities probably listen to Chance because he's so uplifting and so positive and so like, and they're the people getting shit on the most.
Yeah, it's
like you got to be aware of like what the persona is that you're putting out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. And that kind of loops back into. So he's, yeah, there's sort of like, he knows this image of him, but there's kind of a lack of awareness, and he's tweeting this stuff out. That kind of like brings up, like, is that the reason that this album is 22 songs and it, like, a, you know, an hour and 15 minutes? Is there's just like nobody around him to be like,
right,
hey, maybe rein it in a bit. Like maybe some label interference would have helped, and maybe a 40-minute Wedding Day song. That's a cool debut album, whatever we're calling it. But
I agree with you, and this to me it felt like all the, now that you bring that point up, like there was no one around to run interference. It's like when you watch a documentary about like a movie getting made, or you watch like a documentary about someone so talented early on in their life and no one was around to like help them. Like that's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's like just one or two people to kind of rein them in probably would have helped. But again, like this album doesn't suck by any means. It's not bad.
It's just
like a weird approach to giving us music. I don't know.
Yeah. I was very taken aback by
that. Yeah.
There are also some just in general very strange moments on the album.
Yeah, do you want to talk about one or two before we get out of here?
Yeah, is it like on the big day where he just starts shouting and like swearing?
Yeah.
Weird. Doesn't really get any better either on replays, but. Yeah, I don't know, like, not all of the kind of, because he was definitely trying to, you know, stretch his boundaries in certain points, which I respect, but I think a lot of that didn't land well. And I think our friend Jarrett, friend of the pod, commented on one of our IG posts, and he really nailed it when he said a lot of the beats do sound like just GarageBand loops, which is weird given his previous production.
Yeah, which is, I meant to make this point earlier when we were talking about not landing with people, and I think it potentially doesn't land with people because the message doesn't match the sound of, you know, what's coming out of the.
Yeah, you think there'd be the way music. More horns on here.
Yeah, more horns, because that's kind of his staple, is like actual instruments. And also the nice thing about Coloring Book is there's so many songs about, you know, religious experiences and like finding yourself, and kind of like
way less of a gospel.
Yeah, and like, but it, like, that sound matches Coloring Book. There's gospel choruses. There's like wonderful horns and like huge, like organ sounds. Like it matches the message. And this is like, yeah, it sounds like GarageBand beats with like, I love God. I love my wife. I love my daughter. It's like, okay, yeah we got it.
I guess.
Yeah, closing remarks.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest complaint is that, and I know I've had a lot of them, but I really do. I don't hate the album. It's just, I've taken 5 to 6 songs that'll be in my rotation, but there's just not a single song. So, a lot of the times when like some artists release uneven albums, they're still a song or two that kind of ranks up in the upper echelon of that artist catalog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think there's a song on here that you could stack up with Chance's best songs.
I agree with you. However,
not,
I think
No Problem or I didn't love Coloring Book. I thought it was good, like a strong good, but there were like a few really good songs on there.
Yeah, and No Problem has like lasting Like that's it has staying power. That's a, that that song has staying power.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any songs on here that are like that. However, I will say that Sun Come Down and Rue. So Rue is the song with his brother Taylor. I think those two songs have a pretty good like introspective chance. Like it's a very two songs of the entire album are like the most personal to me because he actually tells a story. Whereas the rest of the album is like, I got married, I'm having a good time. Those two songs are very well written compared to the rest. So I don't know if I'd put them in the top of his catalog just because like I don't go out of my way to listen to like those sad personal songs. But like if you had to rank, you know, the best written, I think those could be potentially up there.
But again,
if you go 2 for 22, like that's not great.
If the album is 11 songs long and those two songs are on there, then all of a sudden you're at, you know, 2 out of 11 really introspective songs.
Yeah.
Maybe that balance is a little different than 2 out of 22 where they're kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you for sure. Any other closing remarks? Otherwise, I think let's close out this episode and I'll talk to you again this weekend. Let's do it.
Don't get too sad, Chance.
Yeah, not too sad. Let's tweet at him like happy stuff from the pod and see if he wants to come on to talk about it.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Please don't listen to the whole thing, Chance.
All right. See you, Mark.